back, why they would think they'd want to leave this earth and ruin another place. Now, you hear so much about all I'm complaining about here, about how bad it is here, and we need to go to zero population, so I don't know. Maybe they're the ones who just take off somewhere and just leave us Christians here and see what will happen. Amen? I think that'd be a good idea. Let them abandon us. So, very quickly here, just a quick note that just came in from Jocelyn Rayu from up in Quebec. Her husband was the former pastor before he went home to be with the Lord up there in Rivière-du-Loup, Montreal, Quebec. Montreal's a city. Anyway, so dear friends, once again, thanks much for the thoughtfulness that you have shown me. Where one lives alone, these acts of love are precious. You are also a source of encouragement. May God repay you with love. And Jocelyn, she writes, very quickly here from the Dakus. Now, they're saying that the island of Fiji is shut up. There are no flights coming in. They're not allowing any international flights to come in there at all. But they're still in deputation, so hopefully by the time they're done deputation, it might be opening. So it's a deputation update. Two more supporters have joined in partnering with our ministry. This raises our monthly support level to 47%. All three of us were sick for about a week, but we are thankful that we are well and able to travel again. September looks to be our busiest month yet this year. Fiji continues to remain basically locked down from international flights. We praise the Lord, though, that his work is continuing on. As we have shared with many of you, we'll be working with Josh's parents to help establish the Solid Rock Baptist Church. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's a little city in Fiji anyway. During the last several months, the foundation for the building, as well as a fence, were built. Mission conferences are some of our favorite meetings to be at. With churches, we were with the Fellowship Baptist Church in Madison, Virginia, and they were a tremendous blessing to us. It is always a blessing to meet other missionaries and see their call to the mission field. As you probably already know, God has really placed a burden on our hearts to reach the next generation. We are thankful for every opportunity we have to minister to children and youth while on deputation. We all need to pray and work to raise up a generation to serve him here in the U.S. So he says here, who will go? We also had the privilege to be with Solid Rock Independent Baptist Church in Corganville, Maryland, for their missions conference. Pastor and Mrs. Klink, I hope they're not related to Sergeant Klink on that. No, I guess not. Maybe not. So I guess so. It's just one of those moments, right? Okay. Anyway, some of you might be thinking, who the hell is he talking about? Anyway. Lost my place here. See, Pastor and Mrs. Klink were a great encouragement to us. In a few years, when this pastor steps down from pastoring, he is going to live in his retirement and go with his wife to the country of Mexico. He's retiring from active pastoring to go into Mexico to be a missionary. So we're praying the Lord would raise up more people like this who will be burdened to go with the gospel of Christ, even in the latter years of their lives. Would the Lord have you go? The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few, and of course, set up fund. There's a number of things here for that. It says set up fund here, Josh Deku, on donations. If you would send them in, made to Central Missionary Clearinghouse on our behalf. They need $12,000 for a vehicle, of which they've already raised $2,000. So I guess that means they need a total of $14,000. I'm hoping, or they only need $10,000. Okay. Oh, travel is $4,000. And again, they've raised $2,000 for that. And house setup and appliances are about $4,000. So prayer request that the Lord would place on our hearts, on the hearts of the churches, to partner with us. More laborers for the harvest. Safety traveling during this busy month for us. All right, so remember them in prayer. In the meantime, the rest of us, we're all going to turn to Psalm 27 and hopefully maybe learn a little bit about rejection, not how to handle it. I don't want to get really too upset. But Psalm 27, and it's going to be a total of 8 points altogether. We won't get through but maybe two tonight. And so as we look at Psalm 27, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So perhaps nowhere else in a believer's life do they experience rejection than when sharing the gospel or sharing some biblical advice or some counsel with somebody. They may have asked you for a few words of wisdom, and you begin to share with them the word of God, and they don't want to hear it. You knock on the door, and right now is probably not the best time in the world to be knocking on doors anyway, but when it was okay to knock on the door, and a lot of times people just say, I'm not interested, I don't want to hear it, don't come on my property again. You probably, if you've done it in the past, you've probably heard any number of those things there, but then every once in a while you find someone who, glad you came by, glad you stopped by, they'll listen to you a little bit there, maybe take it under consideration, but sometimes it's just some really, really, really hardcore rejection out that way, and you kind of walk away, and you feel all discouraged and down in the dumps, so to speak. But in this Psalm 27, it would appear that David, because of his relationship and his walk with God, had more than his share of rejection. Amen? You know, there were a lot of people who loved David. There were a lot of people who didn't like David when it came right down to it. But aside from his sin of adultery, David's life was such as it was because he allowed what he knew about God to influence his life, his desires, his own will, and his actions. And if you're going to walk with God, God has to influence us. You can walk with God until we reach a new planet. That might be the case. And you're still not going to influence God. God is who God is from what we said from last Sunday, that God is self-contained. He doesn't need us, but he created us out of his good pleasure and out of his good will. But there's nothing that you and I can add. What can you and I possibly add to God? Have you ever had God come to you in your devotional time, in your prayer time, where he said, you know, I don't know what to do about so-and-so. Could you, out of, you know, this family over there, I'm not sure how to handle it. Could you give me some words of wisdom? No. God doesn't need our counsel, amen? We need his desperately so. But that's why it's so important, as we'll see as we develop this point this morning, this evening, brother. That is why, as individuals, we have to come to a realization that every day that we walk with God and we prepare ourselves to walk with God for that day is a preparation for tomorrow. Because you and I don't know what tomorrow has, what tomorrow's going to hold. God does. And so some of the things that God could be preparing us for today could be about tomorrow. Or it could be a whole week of walking with God, preparing us for what's coming up the next week. It could be one of those weeks where you want to pull all your hair out of your head and just got to throw up the towel and quit life. So outside of David's act of adultery, we know that as we have read through, especially 1 Psalms and, not 1 Psalms, but 1 Samuel, and several of the chapters in the 2 Samuel there, that David was a man that if he made a mistake, he went before God and he got it straightened out, because he didn't want any walls or any barriers standing between him and the Lord. But I think as we go through this time, we look at how to handle rejection, we must always be aware that Satan is walking about seeking, or I should say, walking about setting snares so that in a moment of weakness, we will find ourselves making a very poor decision. Have you found yourself maybe busy and hurried, and you haven't had your devotions, and you haven't had any time of prayer time or so on, and you get around to somewhere about midday or maybe even mid-morning, I don't know, depends on what you're facing out there, you begin to realize, man, I knew there was a reason. And you had to maybe take a few minutes to get alone with God and say, you know, apologize to the Lord for not meeting with him first thing in the morning, not having some time reading the word or devotions or spending some time with God. Well, in this Psalm 27, we can glean at least 8 things that will be a blessing when we feel that we are or have been rejected or we have been shunned. And there may be family members. It could manifest itself any number of ways. Maybe you were applying for a job. Maybe you were applying for a loan. You were, I don't know, any number of things that we might be rejected from. So just know this, that David was someone who was truly loved. And we'll see that here in just a moment. So the first thing tonight I want to look at is what a rejection did. Rejection drove David closer to God. You know, it's amazing that when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, or maybe a very uncomfortable situation, that we close up our Bibles, we walk away from our prayer closets, And as if somehow that's the wise thing to do, or maybe we just become so disgruntled over the rejection or whatever the problem might be, and we just assume, well, I'm just not reading the Bible. I'm just going to have my prayer time with you today. I'm not going to walk with you today. Well, you know, it's kind of like the old saying goes, you bite your nose, spite your face. Yeah, it's not a good thing to do. So verse 1 simply says here in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, one of the things that we would do well to remember is that it was there was a time in David's life when the people of Israel loved David. Amen? It just seemed like there weren't enough people who could be able to sing his praises on a regular day-to-day basis. And so he was their hero. He was their champion. If you remember, there was that initial encounter with Goliath as David marched down into the valley, picked up 5 smooth stones, approached that big Goliath of a giant there, and with a stone and a sling, he whirled it around there and nailed that guy right between the eyes, and down he went, and he cut off his head. Well, he was certainly a hero. As the rest of the Israelites came down out of the hills and chased the rest of the Amalekites or Philistines, whoever they were, chased them all which way to Sunday. So, but then secondly, there were the various battles that David fought, and he won those battles, but he didn't win them for himself. He won those battles for God and for his king. He always, the Bible says, he always behaved himself wisely, whether he was coming or going. And so he gave all honor and all glory. If we can just take a quick look back, a couple of books there back into 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter, we'll look at 18. Oh, chapter 18 and verse 5. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So, again, he was really beloved. And in chapter 21, in verse 10, we'll begin here. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000? So he certainly was, he was a national hero, all right? There's no doubt about it. He was an absolute national hero. Then the people, so the people loved David, but in reality, many, not all, but many, are fickle and can and will change on a dime. So no matter how popular, maybe one minute, the next minute you could come all unraveled. Simply because all of a sudden maybe whatever transpired. In this case here, it would have been King Saul and his emissaries that went about spreading lies and deceitful rumors about David. And so David, who was the darling of Israel, is now wrestling with the feelings of rejection because he's running for his life, and the good people who might have had David's back, now they don't have his back. They're scared to death of King Saul. And so it's become a real mess in David's life. And so what appears to be David's first step in dealing and making sure his focus is in the right direction, we have to understand that it is so important to have a growing, developing relationship with the Lord our God. Now, I know some people say, well, why is that so important? Because there will be days when it seems as though everything and everyone is against you. It may even see sometimes like maybe your wife's against you, or your husband's against you, or your kids are against you, the neighbors are against you, maybe the deacons at the church are against you, I don't know. You just seem like everybody could be against you, and you kind of get that back in that little corner, and you grab your little blanket and a little binky, and you sit there, and you kind of commiserate out of a sense of rejection. And so that's why it's so important for on those good days, and let's say we're all going to have bad days, amen? We're all going to have up days. We're going to have down days. But we need to be prepared for the down days. Not necessarily looking for them, but they're going to happen. They're going to come. They may be just around the corner. So now today's a good day. Make sure you have a good, strong walk with God today so that when tomorrow comes, you have more than enough to carry you through that particular day. Now, it doesn't mean that if it looks like it's going to be a rainy, sunless day that you just kind of pack it all in and say, well, I double my devotions on Monday so I can kind of skate on Tuesday. No, that's not the way it works. The idea was that you're going to have enough energy, enough of a leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to say, listen, this is going to be a tough day for you. Excuse me. So you better make sure you really have your devotions. Rather than simply saying, I double up on Monday, I'm going to kind of try to coast on Tuesday, you turn around and say, no, the Holy Spirit's going to say, no, you don't need to coast today. It's going to be that bad. You need to make sure you have the same kind of relationship with God on Tuesday that you did on Monday, that it is that important. So it is more than sufficient to have a great past walk of life with the Lord to bring to our present circumstances. And that's what it really is all about. We are always preparing ourselves for tomorrow. Now, we've all watched our mothers, or we have maybe watched our wives, and we know that Sunday night, school on Monday. Now, of course, things are a little bit different now, but you know how that was. How many of you made your lunches, school lunches, at nighttime? You put them on the refrigerator so when the kids go off to school, the first thing in the morning, you're not running around like a chicken with your head cut off there. They just grab their lunches and out the door they go. You kind of line them up. Or maybe it's the little ones that get their baths at nighttime, and the older ones, they get their showers and whenever. Anyway, you try to get it all together. You're kind of organized, amen? So the idea is that you're preparing the day before or the evening before for the next day. And why not put that to practice in our Christian lives? About making sure that, listen, I don't know what Thursday's going to hold. I can listen to the weather. I can look at it and say, well, hey, looks as it says it's going to be a pretty good day, but it looks like there might be some rain toward the evening. And I'm already thinking about, okay, well, we're going to go over and watch our grandchildren because they're on a weird schedule over there. They haven't started school over yet because of some kind of an electronics problem with, I don't know, whatever it is. But anyway, so we're going to take some turns because Rick and Renee have to go to work. And so the twins would be there and Lauren would be home. So Peggy and I said, we'll take one day, and her mom and dad, which live around the corner there, they're going to take a day and make sure that they're supervised. I guess it's the same injunction. You got 2 days. You go to school, you got 6 days off. 2 days on, 6 days off. And I guess it, after 2 days, the germs are so bad, it's going to take the next 6 days to clean it up. I don't know. weird people out there. Anyway, the idea is something you prepare. You prepare. And hopefully our young people prepare themselves at evening for the classes that are scheduled for the next day. That means reading the chapters or reading the assignments or doing the homework. So again, these are things that we need to be applying to ourselves, that we don't know what the next day is going to hold, what the next week is going to hold. But boy, I tell you what, we better make sure that we're all prayed up, read up, and fellowshipped up. Amen? So here we see David knows exactly where to go and why. So he's going through one of those moments in his life, those moments that might have lasted several days, several weeks or so on. For him, it was about 8 or 9 years of running from King Saul. David knew exactly where to go because of his past walk. And so you have to cultivate this relationship, because God's not going to kind of sit around kind of thumbing his fingers on the table there and just kind of sitting around waiting for you to decide when you're going to. Decide you're going to come to him and fellowship with him. He's not going to sit around and wait for you. And then all of a sudden, when you're in trouble, he's going to tap you on the shoulder. Oh, by the way, I want you to know I'm right here with you. Now, does he ever leave us? No, he never leaves us. Does he forsake us? No, he never forsakes us. But the awareness that we miss out on when we find ourselves going through something that's uncomfortable, whether it's a rejection from any number of things that we can find ourselves rejected from, and the emotion that goes with that, David knew exactly what to do. And it says there in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So the Lord is my light. I mean, who better to open our eyes and who better to address our mind concerning our present circumstances than the Lord? Have you ever said, I just can't see him? Have you kind of maybe felt this way, that you couldn't see yourself, you couldn't see your way clear? So, man, I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how we're going to deal with this financially. I don't know how we're going to deal with this according to time schedules. You get yourselves all really worked up, and you get yourself going, and you begin to realize that, wait a minute, why don't I just take this to the Lord? And that's exactly what David did. He simply said, the Lord is my light. So he said, if I need to know more, the Lord's the one to go to. I mean, he knows tomorrow. He knows who my enemies are. He knows what my enemies are doing. He knows where my enemies are. And so he did just that. So he knew what was coming. God knows. So he knows what is coming into our life. And in those days, before they come upon us, God already knows. So if we were in his word, meditating, walking in fellowship, there is no doubt that he is preparing us for what lies before. So, you know, sometimes you may be reading something there and say, oh, I'm not sure why God wants me to kind of camp out a little bit here. But he kind of wants me to kind of pull over and park and maybe spend a few minutes on this little portion of scripture here. And the whole thing that he's doing there, he's preparing you. And he's preparing us actions versus reactions. Now, I really believe this, that if you and I are where we're supposed to be in our relationship with the Lord, walking with God, in the Word of God, meditating with the Lord, then when we find ourselves in those particular difficult situations, it's a matter of knowing how to act or whether we're going to react. So the person who doesn't have that relationship with the Lord and that relationship with the Word of God and hasn't been meditating, they're going to find themselves in circumstances where all they can do is react. But someone who has been walking with God, been meditating with God, has been in the Word of God, that individual knows how to act. He already has the discernment of the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God that's going to lead him and direct him. Now, you may have to stop and hesitate for a minute, do a little 10 count there to kind of get on top of that. But there's a difference between are you going to act or are you going to react? Well, I don't want to have to react to something. I'd rather act accordingly. So we either act or we react in those circumstances. And I believe the difference is our relationship with the Lord, not just only as to salvation, but as to fellowship. So if we can learn anything from this verse 1, it is that we have been busy about enhancing our knowledge of the Lord our God. When whatever trouble finds us, we can act upon it as David did. Immediately say, Lord, I need some light. At least you know where to go to. And so, or maybe finding ourselves reacting to the nature of the troubles. You know what? Most of the time we make some poor choices and poor decisions when we are caught reacting as opposed to acting. See, acting gives us the idea, should give us the idea that we know what is the right response. We know what is the right direction, what is the right thing to do as opposed to reacting. And during the pressure of reacting, we make some poor choices and poor decisions that can exacerbate the situation. So you and I can trust in a lot of things. You and I can trust in a lot of people only to discover things in people will fail you sooner or later. It may be a pastor in a pulpit, someone that you have grown to love over the years, and they get off into the ditch somewhere. Maybe they weren't having their personal devotions with the Lord, and things weren't right in the pastor's home and in the pastor's life and the pastor's marriage. And next thing you know, he's had an affair, and boy, that'll destroy a church very, very quickly. Or maybe a missionary that you've known, or maybe an evangelist you know, and maybe a deacon, and maybe just someone at church that you said, that could never have imagined that. I mean, hey, listen, I've been in the ministry long enough to simply say, you know what, boy, that kind of really surprised me. That caught me off guard along the way. And so you see that God wants us to be able to have the right responses. And so you and I can trust a lot of things. But listen, they'll fail you, but God will never fail you. Amen? God will never, ever fail us. People are fickle. They could be your best friend today, and they could be your worst enemy tomorrow. So he asks, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So God is not just one of many things or people from which David found strength. He says in there, you look at the word thee. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so he knew that above anybody else, that God would not fail him, that God would not forsake him, and they could always count on the Lord. But how much more bold can we be in that realization as to when we are walking with God on a regular basis, so when those troubles come, we don't begin to fall apart? We can be strong and we simply say, whom shall I fear? And of whom shall I be afraid? So he very pointedly tells everyone who will read these words that God is the strength. And he is the one. Now, I'm not saying that as a wife you ought not to be looking to your husband for strength, but ultimately that strength that you're looking to in your husband should be the strength that he gets from the Lord. Amen? Not something that's inherent in and of himself, but is placed there because of his walk and his relationship with the Lord. It should be the same thing for us as husbands concerning our wives. We should be able to look for them when we're going through maybe some difficult things at work or one thing or another. It might be some health issues, and be able to look to our wives and find strength in them. But ultimately, it's got to be that strength that she's gotten from the Lord. That's how God works. He filters his strength through individuals that he can count on. And so strength here is the idea of protection, a refuge, the harbor of one's soul, a place where you can go for refuge. So how do you handle rejection? How do you handle the various storms that enter your life? How do you approach the Lord, if you approach him at all? Rejection can be a painful experience, no doubt about it, regardless of whether that rejection is from friends, from family, a job interview, a spouse seeking a divorce. Bitterness is not a godly response. It is a human response. And I believe that probably most of us, if not all of us, are in some degree subject to bitterness because of what someone has done or what someone has said or because we have been rejected by them. But it's not a godly response. However, allowing the pain to bring us closer to the Lord in our relationship is both a wise and mature response. And sometimes God permits that. God allows that rejection to draw us closer to Him. And again, it would be a very beneficial reason for that to take place. So God knows that we've been leaning maybe too much on our husband, we've been leaning too much upon our wives, or maybe we've been leaning too much upon our government, or leaning upon our jobs and our health. Maybe we've been leaning on these things here. And, you know, when you start doing that stuff, then you don't see that you have any real need for God. You don't have any real need to be in prayer. You don't have to have. You don't have to be any real need of being in the Scriptures because, look, I can take care of myself. Look, I got a job. I'm making money. I got health insurance. I got money in the bank. I got a car in the driveway. You have all these things. But where is God in the midst of all those things? Is He the center? Does He come before all those things? And so sometimes God simply allows rejection to draw us closer to Him. And say, you know what? You've kind of been wandering. You've been drifting a little bit. And He's calling us back to Himself. So we won't have time for the second point. But the second point would be, Lord willing, next week, unless there's a rocket that comes and takes us to a new world, or the rapture takes us to heaven, whichever comes first, I guess. Psalm 27, we'll be looking at rejection. Second thing is that rejection boosted David's spiritual confidence. Amen. When we find our relief, and that peace that passes understanding, we find it in the Lord. It will spiritually boost our confidence in the Lord. Amen? So we look at that, Lord willing, next week, and hopefully we'll get a few more in there as well. Sometimes I just get going on a particular point there and don't know when to stop. So, anyway. With